of cream, red roses too.
This is Ed Cohen, editor of GlobalBusinessNews.net and your host on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com. Coming to you today from San Diego, California and Houston, Texas, our special guest today is Harbinder Freeman, who currently works as a global mobility manager for Oceaneering. She has more than 10 years of experience in HR and global mobility. She was appointed to set up and organize the Global Mobility Department, as well as the GEC implementation for the U.S.-based operations. Harbinder manages the North American Global Mobility Program and superintends a staff of 7, whom she is training on the various components of global mobility. Welcome, Harbinder.
Thank you for having me, Ed.
I'm delighted. So, Harbinder, a lot of people don't understand what a global employment company is, or GEC. So, please, before you get into that, tell us a little bit more about yourself. I've just said that you have a multi-years experience in HR and mobility. How long have you been with Oceaneering?
I've been with Oceaneering just over a year. Prior to that, I've been in global mobility prior to that as well, and I had been tasked to set up a global mobility department at a previous organization as well, so that's why I was tapped to join Oceaneering to set up the global mobility department here. I'm born in India, I was raised in Canada, I did a brief stint in Japan, and now I am a citizen of the United States as well.
Well, welcome. So I need to ask you a couple of questions, please, about Oceaneering. What kind of a company is it?
We are a company that the main product that we have is remote operated vehicles. We have our big clients are, you know, BP, Chevron, and the like. So we tend to support the oil and gas companies. But we also do things that are quite more fun and interesting, like entertainment, theme park engineering, that sort of thing.
Okay. And so your people are engineers, are they?
Yes.
From Oceaneering, does that mean offshore rigs? Offshore,
yes.
Drilling rigs is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, vessels and rigs and that sort of thing. We do both onshore and offshore work. And we are, as I said, the remote operated vehicles is what we are really known for, where we have the technician or the user in one place and the vehicle is sitting at the bottom of the ocean. And that's what we tend to specialize in.
So I see in your bio here that you have a degree in psychology. So does this application work well in your job as a HR and global mobility manager?
Yeah, I think, you know, truth be told, I think psychology degree works well anytime you're dealing with people in any aspect of life. But yes, it definitely does, because it helps to bring things to light when you're dealing with employee relations and dealing with the psychological aspects of relocation.
Yeah, I'll bet you're basically a counselor without really being one.
Yes, correct.
Right. Okay, well, let's go a little bit deeper here. A GEC, or a global employment company, it's been around a long time, but there's evidence of new life coming back for this. Why is that happening?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because there does seem to be a resurgence in global employment companies, and I think the reason is because the world is becoming smaller, so to speak, in that you know, multinationals are popping up in various locations. As well, visa immigration tax laws have changed significantly in the last 20, 30 years. So a global employment company is a really great way to sort of protect the company and the employee when you're sending people overseas to work.
All right. So this is a legal entity apart from the main company. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
But it's not a tax dodge. It's more for administration, isn't it?
It really is. You know, although, you know, certain organizations, ourselves included, do tend to want to set up our international global employment companies in tax-friendlier zones as opposed to ones that may have signed on with the U.S. for the FATCA.
Okay, and say that again. FACTA is a law or a compliance, is that correct?
Yeah, it's really what the U.S. government has come up with. And long story short, it's the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, and it has intergovernment contracts with various countries to say, if there are any U.S. residents or citizens living and working in your country, we want to know about it so that we can ensure that they are taxed on their worldwide income.
All right, so a GEC or a GEC, a Global Employment Company, serves as a formal legal entity.
Yes, correct. And basically, to put it succinctly or simply, is that if there are employment law issues in either home or host location, it really is the global employment company that the employee and anyone could reach, not necessarily the parent company. So it really sort of protects the parent company from anyone coming after it, so to speak.
Okay, now this has nothing to do with illegal activities. It has everything to do with tax. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
So, how is GEC defined? How is it different from alternatives? What are the advantages?
As you had stated earlier, it is a separate limited liability entity, and it serves as a formal employer of all expatriate employees. So, the great advantage, is that it really does help with organizations such as ourselves who are coming from a decentralized and moving to a centralized model, giving us that line of sight of all of our employees that are living and working around the world. This especially helps reduce tax exposure and the tax liability of creating a permanent establishment. So that's the biggest advantage. And there also follows into it provides flexibility in providing continuity of benefits, compensation, policies, retirement programs for all of the expatriate population. And then it also will also, it helps to mitigate risk around termination liabilities, while it also maintains the confidentiality of expatriates' data. So it really is a wonderful tool for an organization such as Oceaneering that, again, as I said, was very, very decentralized and each business unit operating in its own way and now is coming under this one umbrella and giving us that line of sight to help us in the company to mitigate any potential visa, immigration, and tax risks.
How does this impact the employees' benefits or other HR-related services, or is it a mirror image of the parent company?
At this point in time, it is a mirror image in our case specifically, but we, along with many other organizations, are trying to come up with a benefits plan that perhaps would be applicable to our employees around the globe. But, trying to make it as fair as possible because not all expatriates like to have their ties severed to their home location, so to speak. So those are things that we kind of have to work around, and it is a difficult task for most organizations to try and come up with one international benefits plan.
I bet people are different. The host country is different. The culture is different.
Yes.
Okay,
Exactly.
so this is a legal entity, and it's probably really expensive to organize and manage. Could you talk about that aspect?
Well, I mean, it is in the sense that at the startup, you do want to get in touch with a proper legal law firm if you don't have anyone in-house to ensure that all documentation is in place. But from that point, it's just a matter of maintaining it with in-house. There are organizations that opt to outsource it, but we at Oceaneering do everything in-house, and myself and my team oversee all aspects of the GEC now that it has been implemented and is up and running.
So, how many people are in your GEC?
In the U.S. side, we roughly have about 1,200 or so. Our international GEC will be up and running January 1st, 2016, and there will be another 1,500 or so there.
So, if this is set up internally, it's not set up in a law firm or an accounting company.
No, we used a law firm to help us to ensure that all the documentation was in place and was correct. But as far as being set up, it is set up internally. So once the documentation was in place to say this is a legal entity and everything was set, we, within our organization, took it upon ourselves to ensure that the employees that were transferred, we communicated with them properly, with their managers, and implemented the transfer January 1st of 2015 of all affected employees.
So the employee doesn't get penalized, or do they? Are they?
No,
is there
they
a
really
cost
don't.
To the employee?
No, there's no cost to the employee. There was a few employees that got transferred within the year, so that did bring up FICA restart. But that's a minor issue in the grand scheme of things, because if they do end up paying over for their FICA, they get that back the following tax year. So it evens out in the end. But that was only a handful of employees that were affected that way. The majority of people were transferred at the beginning of the year so that they would only have the one W-2 and there would not be a FICA restart.
So a GEC or GEC has an administrator, in this case an Oceanarian, it's you. Is that correct?
Yes.
So does this mean you're the CEO, or is it a CEO of the parent company?
No, the CEO of the parent company still is the CEO of this organization. But as you said, myself and my team are, we're the administrators. So we do oversight as far as ensuring the employees are transferred into the GEC properly. And then from that point, once they're going on assignment, we handle all of the end-to-end pieces of making sure that assignment is fully implemented for the employee. And then we ensure that payroll and tax, et cetera, and visa, immigration, all of those things are in compliance and are in place for the employees.
So about a GEC, a GEC, there's several methods of employment that can be used instead of GEC, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Tell me about it.
Well, as you mentioned, there's several different ways. You can do a direct transfer, which is when the employee is terminated in their home country and rehired in their host country. The problem with that is it makes it difficult to continue to keep the employee on their home country pension or benefits plans, and it puts the employee on the local pay package. Another way is to do a secondment, which is when the employee is seconded to a host country. The employer doesn't change, and the employee simply loaned to the host location, but without a GEC in place, it can potentially cause permanent establishment issues as well as immigration issues if there's not a local employer. And then the third way is a dual employment. The employee can maintain home country employer, but also enter a second employment relationship with a host country employer. But as I'm sure you can tell, it's a really difficult way to administer when you have two employers directing one employee.
All right, so let's go back now to the global employment company, the GEC, and why it's beneficial for you. You obviously are doing it. You have one, and as I understand it, you're setting up a second one. So how to implement a global employment company? So you need an outside attorney or a tax advisor or perhaps even a company that specializes in that, I would assume. Please correct me and tell me more.
Well, I mean, you do need, it's advisable to have a proper law firm in place that can help direct you to the best location for your organization, and also to help prepare the documentation to get the GEC in place. Once that's been determined by a law firm and in conjunction with the company, at that point, then the company can bring everything in-house and start to administer the global employment company. So having said that, what you want to do is first step is to, you need to decide where you're going to put your GEC, what jurisdiction you're going to put it, whether it's going to be the United States or elsewhere. You also need to decide if you want to put it in a neutral foreign law tax jurisdiction, or will it be within a treaty jurisdiction. And then the key to all of this throughout the whole thing is to ensure communication stays clear with all of the personnel involved, as well as the employees that will ultimately be affected by the transfer.
So when you say about placement in a neutral foreign law tax jurisdiction, that's what you were saying before about Bermuda or Dubai or some other
correct.
Place.
Yes,
and
that's
then a
correct.
Treaty jurisdiction, what does that mean?
Yeah, someone that's got a treaty with the United States, kind of like Canada, would be a country that has treaty jurisdiction. But really, that boils down to having totalization agreements in place so that you're not the employees on double tax on Social Security. But it really does not help with a whole lot more as far as tax protection goes.
So the companies that do this kind of thing, these are usually pretty large organizations, right, with people in different countries.
Yes, they're multinational organizations that normally have global employment companies in place. So the larger oil and gas companies almost all have them in place. And more as global employment companies come to light and as tax and visa issues become more of a risk for organizations, people are moving towards getting GECs in place for their organizations.
Okay, so employment agreements have to be drafted and the I's dotted, the T's crossed, of course. That's why you have the lawyers and accountants. What's the cost of doing all this? There must be a cost savings.
Yeah, I mean, there is a fairly high startup cost, first of all, to hire a outside law firm to give the legal advice that you need to give, that they would need to give, as well as to draft the documentation to get the GEC into place. So that can be fairly high cost, and as it can be something that isn't done overnight. It's something that takes some long-term planning in order to get everything in place. And also, it can be a cost if you don't already have an employer in the host location that you can use as a serving entity to help you with some of these things, the logistics and that of the global employment company. So the cost can be quite high, yes.
And there's an ongoing administration fee, I would assume.
There is, but where you're going to see the return on your investment, so to speak, is the place where your visa and immigration are in compliance and your tax are in compliance. So in the long term, you're going to see the return in that you're not going to be fined for things or be out of compliance in host locations, so that you have run the risk of the company getting into trouble with local laws and potentially creating further issues for your home organization. The extreme being that a company can be banned from doing business in a host of jurisdiction if they don't have everything in place for visa, immigration, and tax compliance.
So the people that are put into the GEC, are they monitored, coached, mentored while on assignment any different than people who would not be put into a GEC?
They're put into, because they're now a part of this entity, they're in a separate pool, so to speak, in our local HIRS system, so that we run reports of specifically the people that are in the global employment company. But other than that, they're not monitored any differently, other than the fact that we tend to want to ensure that once we send them on assignment, that we don't forget about them, that we maintain contact with them and ensure that everything that they need to have in place to keep them whole in the host location, and also to ensure that they're aware that the home country has not forgotten about them. All of these things which are important in ensuring assignment success, those all need to be in place.
So in terms of assignment success, in terms of ROI of expatriate assignments, this is a big deal these days everywhere, not just in the US, and it's very hard to measure. So having a GEC would actually bring in a layer of control, I would guess, and also more clearly identify costs directly associated with the international assignee, and therefore probably bring more attention, which will probably lead to helicoptering or mentoring or just performance management on a more frequent basis. Or am I wrong?
No, we haven't found that that's necessarily true. The host and home country managers remain in communication about the employee. So when the home country manager loans and seconds their employee to the host country manager, you know, it's important that the host country manager let the home country manager know that, hey, this guy's not working out, or he is working out. So both of those managers work in conjunction to ensure that the employee is doing the job that they've been sent over to do, but also once the yearly review comes up, both give input to ensure that the employee is properly represented in as much as getting proper feedback. So it doesn't necessarily have to be more so.
If you have a GEC, then a company is certainly creating, identifying the need to have a global culture internally. And does this go to the extent of all that? Does it go towards better selection of qualified employees to go on assignment?
Yes, exactly. That we are basically creating a talent pool of individuals that are in the global employment company who we've already identified, have their travel papers in place, have the desire to work in international assignments. So from that, we already have those basics nailed down because they're already in the global employment company. And from that point, we can say, here's the group of people that we have, and here's who we think is the best suited for the next assignment. So it really does give a better line of sight of our talent that is available to us for choosing to go overseas.
I'm going to make an assumption. It's highly likely that the people who are put into the GEC are not forgotten, quote-unquote forgotten, by the home country, that they're out there, they're expensive, they're costing more because of all of this structure, and more is expected then, right?
Expats can be expensive. That is true overall. However, you know, having the right people in place that already know the company culture, already know the company's method of doing whatever job that they've been assigned to, or even knowing how to train others in other locations, I think that far outweighs the expense of sending an expat overseas, because it really is a cost of doing business in ensuring that things are done properly and by the methodology and according to the core values of the company. And having the right people in place to do that is definitely a valuable asset to the company in the long run.
So now let's go to disadvantages. The compliance, the FACTA, Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, does this limit the places where the tax treaty or the appropriate jurisdiction would be available to companies to have a GEC?
Yes. There's, you know, increasingly more and more organizations have signed on with the U.S. government to let them know about, you know, reporting on worldwide income. But there's still a handful of places that are tax-friendly, so to speak, and that is the one that we are in is the Jebel Ali Free Zone, which is just outside of Dubai. Dubai has since last year signed on, so Dubai no longer falls into that category, but this Jebel Ali Free Zone does, and that's where our international GEC is based out of. And others, Bermuda, as you mentioned, and then Singapore is another one that comes to mind readily. So there's still a few places left that are people that are available to companies to use to try and set up an international GEC.
And those will likely remain available because that's what global business is all about, and trying
right.
to find
that's correct.
Opportunities.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Okay, this has really been an interesting time. So it's not nirvana, but a global employment company or a GEC can go a long way in addressing obstacles and assisting in risk management. And as far as our audience goes, which is made up of global HR and those that service them, where do you go from here? Are you going to continue to manage this for Oceaneering? Are you going to grow the GEC internally?
Yes, and that's exactly both. Yes to both of those. I am going to continue to manage the U.S. GEC from here in Houston, as well as having my hand in the international GEC with my counterpart, so that she and I can work together to ensure we have compliance across the board, and also to put further policies, processes in place to tighten up the process that we have now in place and to further streamline it as we go forward, as our U.S. GEC isn't even a year old yet. So we've still got a few things that we need to tighten up, but we're definitely headed in the right direction.
I thank you very much for being our special guest. This body of knowledge is is beautiful, if I may say,
I
for
think so too.
the world of corporate relocations on a global basis and cross-border employments. Countries everywhere are searching for revenue with changes in currencies, changes in energy costs and development, and yet opportunities for growth and development through the middle class expanding across the world. So it's fascinating to learn more about this. And Harvinder Freeman, thank you very much for being our special guest today on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com, a service of GlobalBusinessNews.net. This is Ed Cohen, your host on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com, signing off from San Diego and Houston. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I think to myself, what a wonderful